It is really great to see you this morning. I hope everybody has had a great week. But I know, as I say just about every week, you're having a great day. Because as was prayed by George earlier, this is the Lord's day. This is His day. It's a day that we have come together and had Bible class this morning. It's a day that we've come together to sing praises to God, to gather around and remember the sacrifice of our Savior on the cruel tree at Calvary. And now's come a time in our lesson, in our service, when we will challenge ourselves. We will open up the Word of God and we will look at it today about being a servant. Eli read to us, Scott prayed for it. That's the mindset today. Moving forward by serving God. But before we get into our lesson, I have some good news. I like good news. We all like good news. We're talking about the good news, right? But a family, a sweet, precious family, has been visiting with us that I've been privileged to know over the years, and certainly thankful that they have such an encouraging, enthusiastic demeanor about them to worship and grow closer to God. And this morning they said they do not want to visit anymore, they want to be members. And so I am thankful for the Dixon family, Brother Eddie and Sister Joyce, and they have their sweet granddaughter London with us today. And they are right here to my left, your right. But could you stand up? Would that be too much? Sister Joyce said, don't do that to me. We officially welcome y'all. By the way, if you were here Wednesday night in our class or you were watching live stream, I asked the class to turn to Romans 6, 1 and 2 and read to it. And Brother Eddie just started quoting it. I love that. That's a man who's in the Word. And so thank you. That's going to rub off on all of us, brother. We appreciate you. I was in a restaurant, but it's been several years ago. This restaurant has a lot of things in it that you tell your children when they're young, don't touch. And it's pretty crowded. It may be called Cracker Barrel. But as my children were, you know, you're trying to make sure you don't bump into anything because you don't have to buy it. And you're trying not to bump into people or anything. We bumped into somebody who was bringing some water to their guests, and it spilled water everywhere. Felt terrible about it. And I'm like, hey, just can I'll be glad to mop it up. I was like, I just felt so bad. I'll mop it up. The little young man came out, and I was like, man, let me have the mop. We did it, you know. He said, sir. He said, this is my job. And it made me think, folks, it's our job to serve as well. We have learned today through the reading of God's Word, and we will continue to study today through the study of God's Word, that we are not on this earth to be served. We are here to serve. We are here to pattern our lives after our Savior, the greatest servant of all, Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, we're going to read together verses 20 through 28 today. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. The him there is Jesus. And he, Jesus, said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? So he said to them, now he's addressing these young men, he said, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, that's the other disciples who heard this, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give His life a ransom for many. The two sons of Zebedee, two fishermen, two men that Jesus handpicked, their mother, just like most of the mothers, if not all the mothers in here, want their children to be great. She wanted James and John to be great. She wanted them to be not just great, but elevated. She wanted them to sit at the right hand of Jesus Christ in His kingdom. The two young men, or the two men, wanted to be recognized. They wanted to be leaders appointed by the Master. Jesus said it this way, you want to be great? Start serving. Jesus told them that they needed to be diakonos, which is the same word where we get the word deacon. The definition of that, another way to say it, is slave. That means they need to be devoted to one another to the disregard of one's own interests. You want to be great? Be the slave, the servant, the deacon that God desires you to be. There are a lot of great servants here at Azalea City Church of Christ. Many men and women who are devoted to God and devoted to one another. I'm surrounded by men and women who put others' interests far ahead of their own, and for that I'm so thankful. The kingdom needs servants. It is our duty. It is our job, and it is our calling by the greatest servant of all. Does it ever get your attention when Steve or one of our other leaders leads us in the song, Lord, make me a servant? Have you listened to those words as you sing them? Lord, make me a servant. Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like You. For You are a servant. Make me one too. Make me a servant. Do what You must do. Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like You. Now, if you don't really want to serve, the next time we sing that song, you better not sing it. Because in that song, in that plea, we are begging God, we are begging Jesus Christ to help us serve like Him. Jesus Christ is the greatest servant there's ever been. and there ever will be. Unless I am willing to serve like Jesus, then I better not sing that song. This morning, I want us to think about the word serve. I want us to think about every letter in that word literally. And I want us to look at that and think about that and study that and be, when we leave here, the servant that God wants us to be. In order to do that, the first thing I want us to do is think about the letter S. I want you to think, if I'm going to serve, then I need to seek Him and the kingdom first. James wanted to be a leader. John wanted to be a leader. Their mother wanted them to be a leader. The rich young ruler wanted to be a leader. He wanted to be great in the sight of God. Listen, we could beat them up and pick on all of the above, but I believe we also should desire to be great in the sight of God. I believe we should all set out to be leaders in the kingdom of God. If we want to serve and we want to do it God's way, we must seek Him and the kingdom first. Matthew chapter 6, you know it well, right? Verse 21, Jesus' words, Sermon on the Mount, I should say verse 31, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." To be a servant, to serve like Jesus, to have Him mold us and make us into the servant like He is, we've got to seek God in the kingdom first. What does that mean? That means here we are today, Sunday, first day of the week. And I'm thankful you're here. Do we have some empty sections? Sure. Do we have some sickness? Sure. Do we have some people that still aren't comfortable coming back? Sure. Do we have some that have just gotten too comfortable not to come back? Sure. Do we have some that said, hey, I'm going to be here for worship, but I'm not going to be here for Sunday school? Sure. Hey, we're all here right now, and I'm not going to just keep harping on this, but I just want you to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? If I were to sing the song, "Make me a servant, Lord, make me like you," would He have gotten up 1 hour earlier and been here this morning? Would He? I'm going to let you answer that in your mind. But we've got to make Him first on the first day of the week. When else does God and the kingdom need to come first? Well, tomorrow, He still needs to come first. Tuesday needs to come first. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day of our lives, Jesus Christ and the kingdom of our God must come first. On Friday nights, when we're some teenagers or some young adults or some college students are letting their hair down and going out with their friends and going out with dates and going out with others, He's got to come first then too. When I go to work, He must be first in my work. When I go to school, He must be first at my school. In my home, in my family, He must come first. He must come first in every hobby that I take up. He must come first in every vacation I go to, every ballpark I travel to, everything that I do. Jesus Christ and the kingdom must come first if I'm going to serve and be the servant and be great the way God wants me to be. I want to ask you, I can't answer it for you, where is God in your life right now? Now, all of us could say, well, obviously He's first, I'm here. But I think if we were honest with ourselves, not everybody in here would say that He is number one. Oh, he may be 1B, he may be 1C, but he's not one. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves. Because when it comes to heaven and it comes to hell, there is nothing greater than being honest with ourselves. Suppose today I needed to cut my grass. Thankfully, I don't. But suppose I did. And suppose I know, hey, I need to go home and cut my grass because I'll get some violation from the homeowners association. But in my mind, I'm saying there are so many other things that are more important than cutting my grass. Man, I'll get around to it one day. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it Tuesday. I'll do it some other day. I know it's important. Hey, it just rained. It's all soggy out there. I'm not going to go home and cut my grass right now, but I'll get around to it. That makes sense when it comes to grass cutting. But there's a lot of people live their spiritual life that way too. I know Jesus needs to be first. I know God needs to be first. I know the kingdom needs to be first. But I got a lot of things going on in my life. There are so many things out there. Man, my job, my children, my hobbies, my kids' sporting career, or dancing career, or band career, or art career, or fill in the blank. Those are all so important. So what we do is we say, hey, God, you've heard me say this illustration a lot, but it still preaches. Here's the Cagle family. I need you to revolve around us. God, when I can worship you, I'll worship you. Hey, God, when it comes to Sunday school, if I can get there, I'll get there when I can. Wednesday night? Hey, well, yeah, maybe. But if I can get there, I'll get there. Study my Bible? Sure, when I've got an extra 5 minutes. Say a prayer? Oh, yeah, when I need something, you better believe I'll be praying. That's how too many servants, quote-unquote, are trying to live their life. But what God said is you better stick the cross in the ground and revolve around it. Everything revolves around the cross of Christ. At least it should if I want to be great and serve in the sight of God. Secondly, the first D. Eternity must be on our minds. If I'm going to serve and be what God wants me to be, then I must be thinking about eternity or it will not drive me to do and serve the way God wants me to. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Oftentimes, we don't build our hopes on things eternal. Rather, we build our hopes on things temporal. Money. Follow the dollar. Chase the dollar. Gotta have it. Listen, I get it. Gas prices are out the roof. Food is out the roof. Inflation is extremely high. I know. But all that is temporal. Money is temporal. Sports, listen, I love sports. Friday night, I traveled with our football team to Hattiesburg, Mississippi to watch our guys play in a spring game. I rooted my son on. I rooted those kids that are part of my, like my children as well. I rooted them all on. I cheer for them. But at the end of the day, sports are temporal. Hobbies, the size of our house, the size of our car, the clothes that we wear, all these things are in this world and are temporary. Our focus, if it is truly to be a great servant of God, must be on things eternal. Colossians 3, if then you were raised with Christ, that means you were baptized and raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. How blessed are we, right? We are so blessed that sometimes we forget where all blessings come. Michelle reminded me on the way to work of the a cappella song, If There Were No God. She said, in that song, there is a line that I've heard that song a lot of times, but there is a line that says, if there were no God, there would be no virtue. There would be no value. Think about that, value. Value is something we forget that God put the price on. He made gold. He made diamonds. He made the things that we know and we need and we desire. He knows what we were going to need. He knows how it was going to be. If there were no God, there'd be no value. Have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten where our blessings, our value, truly comes from? Today, I need to ask you another question under this point. Where is your heart? I said, where is God in your life? Now the question is, where is your heart? Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are we focused on things that really do not matter in the grand scheme of life? If we're striving to serve, eternity and things that matter to God should be where our hearts and desires are. The R now, one word, remember. If you're going to serve, and I'm going to serve the way God desires me to serve, then I need to remember what's been done for me. Somebody did something special for you, would you remember them? Someone bought you a car. Would you remember them? If someone paid off your mortgage, would you remember them? If somebody paid off all your debt, would you remember them? If somebody walked up and gave you $1 million, would you, would I, would we remember them? You better believe we would. We would go out of our way to thank them and do whatever they needed us to do. We'd bake cakes. We'd write cards. We'd cut their grass. We'd do whatever we needed to do because we would never forget them. Jesus Christ made heaven possible. And all too often, He is forgotten. John 13:1-17, we're not going to read it. But I want to remind you, it's where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. We often talk about Peter in this chapter. You're not going to wash me. Then he says, hey, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me, then wash my whole body. But I don't want to focus on Peter. I want to focus on Judas. I'm not going to read all 17 verses, but we are going to read the first five. John 13, now beginning in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil already having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel, girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Jesus Christ,
the greatest servant of all. He is about to be sold for a mere 30 pieces of silver. And it was all initiated by a man who had forgotten. Judas failed to remember what Jesus had done for him. Judas had been called to a new hope, a new life, a new mission, and he had been called by Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus had prepped and trained and prepared Judas and the others to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He had spent so much time trying to change their attitudes and their mindset. But in all of this, Judas forgot. We must never forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. The V in the letter serve. Another one word stands for virtuous. If I'm going to serve, just to give a quick recap, got to seek Him in the kingdom first. Eternity must be on my mind. I must remember what God's done for me, and then I must be virtuous. Proverbs 31, use it on Mother's Day. It's an account of that virtuous woman. She was so wonderful, remember, to her children, to her husband. She was a blessing to all of them. She was so valuable, they said she excelled them all. You know why she was so valuable? She feared the Lord, and she was a great servant. The word virtuous has come to mean literally valuable or morally excellent. This lady was certainly that. But I do want you to know something today and note it. The original word used to describe her actually means strength, ability, wealth, and force. It's more of a military type of word to explain the value of someone who's been in the trenches fighting rather than in a castle barking orders. You see, that's virtuous. When you're in the trenches fighting rather than up in the castle barking orders, you are virtuous. You are a servant. You are a warrior. You are a fighter. Jesus Christ didn't come to sit in a castle and bark orders. He came to get in the trenches and serve. That's virtuous. Today, if I truly want to be a servant of God, then I must strive to also be virtuous. Here we are. Last point. Seek Him in the kingdom first. Eternity must always be on my mind. I must always remember what God has done for me. In order to do it, I must strive to be virtuous in the trenches fighting. But really, it comes down to this last point. And I could sum it up this way. If I truly want to serve, then I simply must exemplify Christ. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled did not revile in return, when He suffered He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ came to suffer. Christ came to serve. But Christ left us an example. And in that example, we must exemplify the servanthood of the greatest servant of all. Do you want to be great? then you and I must serve. Seek first the kingdom. Be eternally minded. Remember what God has done. Be virtuous. Exemplify Christ. We have talked about it. We have read about it. We have pled for it. We have prayed for it. Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. The same servant who washed the disciples' feet is ready to wash not only your feet, not only your body, but most of all, your sins away today. Jesus is ready for you. He's ready for me. He's wanting us to serve. Are you willing to serve? We have that opportunity right now as together we stand and sing.